I'm pleasantly surprised. I really am. I'm pleasantly surprised. I thought that the way that you all whizzed through the business, that you had some place to go. But I am pleasantly surprised because I love to see each one of you here. I love to look out and see your face. And believe it or not, we who stand behind this desk to preach to you can read your faces. You know, I was having a little trouble. I was having a little trouble coming up with a subject for tonight. In fact, I told my wife, I said, I haven't got a clue. And she gave me that panicky look. But there are many, many subjects that I could have preached on. You know, I could have preached on repentance, and I dare say that we need to repent. I dare say that we need to take our lives and change and go in a new direction. I could have preached on that. I could have preached on obedience. And oh, do we need to obey? Do we fall short of obeying Jesus Christ in the manner that we should? Sure we do. I could have preached on obedience. I could have preached on the love of God, and that's always a good subject. And I have many, many times preached on the love of God. But I still didn't have a clue. And then Wednesday night, one of our apostles in our East local meeting stood up and bore a testimony. And in that testimony was the subject that I'm going to preach on tonight. And he said, I know that Christ gives the victory. The victory. That which would take you and I, sinners, you and I who don't obey, you and I who don't love enough, you and I who do those things contrary to God's will. And through Jesus Christ, give us victory. Oh, what a great and marvelous thought. That in our state, we can still rely on Jesus Christ. I want to start out telling you a story. And it's a true story. And it's a story about tragedy. It's a story about pain. It's a story about suffering. But also it's a story about victory. And it's simply entitled, Tyler's story. Tyler was born on May 22nd, 1984. And by the time he was about 6 months old, the parents noticed that something was wrong. Tyler wasn't turning over as a six-month-old should. Tyler wasn't holding his head up as a six-month-old should. They couldn't put their finger on it, but they knew something was wrong. And then by the time he was 8 months old, they took him to their family doctor. The family doctor sent him to a specialist. And after many tests and many weeks, the doctor told them that Tyler had Hoffmann-Werding's disease, and this is a form of muscular dystrophy. He also told them that Tyler would never walk. Tyler would never grow up. Tyler would die by the time he was 2 years old. Can you imagine the devastation? Can you imagine the pain that those parents had? Now, I wasn't told in this story, or the story didn't tell me, what church that these people belong to, but I believe as we go along, you might get a clue. Tyler had almost no muscle development. He didn't even have the muscles for his intestines to work. But when the parents got home from the hospital on Sunday afternoon, and in their pain, they turned to the only place that they knew where to turn, and that was to God. And they called their church pastor. And on Monday evening, they had a prayer service in Tyler's home, where it said that the elders anointed his head with oil and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And it said that in this prayer service that they poured out their hearts in Tyler's behalf. They had a Tuesday morning appointment. Tuesday morning, 24 hours later. They took Tyler to the doctor Tuesday morning. The doctor says, "What happened? What happened? You have a perfectly normal, muscled 8-month-old." God instantly, perfectly, miraculously, divinely healed Tyler. The doctor said, "Take him home." Today, Tyler is 11 years old. He's healthy. He has run marathons in Oklahoma and Iowa and won state championships. And the victory comes when the parents are interviewed. They never fail to tell, not to tell the story of how Tyler was miraculously healed by God and given the victory. You and I, much more than that, are promised this victory through Jesus Christ. Christ gives us this promise of victory for us who turn our problems and our cares, our trials and our tribulations over to Him. Job, after much pain and much sorrow, he said, "Man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And isn't that the truth? Aren't we full of trouble? Isn't trouble around us daily in different forms. Job suffered probably more than anyone that we can imagine. Job lost his family. Job lost all of his cattle, all of his oxen, all of his sheep, all of his camels. Job lost his family. And yet was not willing to curse God. Job ended with the victory because of his belief and his dependence upon Jesus Christ. Just as we can have that today, if we would allow Him to come into our lives with such strength and with such power to be able to claim that victory. What a bleak world this would be without Christ. What a bleak world. Please turn with me to in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read out of the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting with the third verse. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do we need comfort? Do we need comfort in our lives? Have we suffered in our lives? Have we had pain in our lives? Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, brothers and sisters, therein is the price that you and I have to pay for getting that comfort from God. We must be willing and able to pass that comfort on to those in need, to those that we come in contact with who are suffering, who need our comfort. We must be willing to pass that comfort on because we ourselves are promised comfort. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so ye shall also be of the consolation. We're not promised totally that we won't suffer. We're not promised totally that we won't have pain, that we won't have to go through the things of the world. We're not promised that, but we're promised that comfort. We're promised that victory if we allow Jesus Christ to work in our lives, to become a part of us. Christ said, I will never leave you. Christ says, I will never be alone without you. Christ said, I will be there when you need me. Christ said, call on me. Put your burdens on me. I will take your yoke. Christ promised us the victory, as it is written in the Beatitudes, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, if our spirit is broken, if it's contrite, we're promised the victory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's not just mourning for our own loss, but that's mourning for the loss of those that we love. And mourning for the loss of our friends, and mourning for the things that happen to others. Not just for ourselves. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If we're meek and humble, we have a promise of victory. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thirsting. A thirsting as a hungry man thirsts after food or thirsts after drink. This is the kind of hunger that we need within us. That we are searching daily for those things that are righteous. Searching daily for the good things of the earth. Looking for the good in all people. Looking for things that you and I can do that would further us towards that goal that we want. Eternal life. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If we're merciful one to another, if we care one for another, we're promised victory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And isn't that why we're here tonight? To find out what things that we need to do so that we can see God? So that we can be a part of His kingdom? So that we can be pleasing unto Him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we persecuted today for righteousness' sake? Probably not. When was the last time you were persecuted for righteousness' sake? When was the last time you were put down for righteousness' sake? But if you are, you will be given the victory. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Great will be your reward. Great will be your victory. Have you ever had some of those troubles? Have troubles come upon you daily that you think is just going to weigh you down, and they come bang, 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 one after another. I read a story about this woman, and she said she got to where she thought that it rained more evil and more problems than it ever rained blessings upon her. She said she got up one morning, she was driving down the road, and she had two flat tires. She limped into the filling station. They jacked up the thing to put two new tires on her. The muffler fell off. Happened to you? Sure it has. She got the muffler and the tires fixed. She went home. Her daughter, who just learned to drive, had backed her car into another one. No insurance. One day. Oh, that isn't all. She goes to the claim office to take care of the daughter who backed into a car. And while she was gone, her youngest daughter, a young kid, threw a firecracker and burned her leg. And she says, where are the blessings? Where is the victory? But then she got to talking to one of her friends. And that friend happened to be a good Christian woman who was able to think about the good things of God, and she challenged her She challenged her. Look at your blessings instead of looking at your problems. So she sat down and she said, where am I going to find blessing in all those things that happened to me today? You know, where am I going to find blessings in them? And then she got to thinking. While she was driving down and those two tires blew out, she was blessed because she didn't have a bad accident. Or when her daughter backed into this other car, she was blessed that no one was hurt. Or even when her daughter got her leg burned with the firecracker, she was blessed because it didn't put an eye out. It didn't permanently damage her. Yeah, we can look at the victories that Christ gives us. You and I can. In all the troubles and trials that pile upon us daily, we can still look and see those blessings that God has given us. No matter how bleak it gets, it could get worse. It seems like that trials drop in a lot more frequently than blessings sometimes. And we have to learn to look at those things, brothers and sisters. We have to learn to look at those things and look for the bright side. Look for that cloud's silver lining. And it's there. It's there. In the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, we read a story about the people of Alma who were in bondage. And these people had guards over them that kept them. It says that these bondagers were heavy. And they were hard to bear. They were hard to bear. But they prayed. They prayed to God and they got the victory. The story tells us that God made those burdens light. Not only made them light, but made them to where they couldn't even feel them. And then he made a deep sleep come over the guards so that they could escape. Through faith, through prayer, through diligence, they won the victory. In the Bible, it tells stories about Daniel in the lion's den. It tells stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace with a heat so hot that it burnt those up who were throwing them in. And we read stories about David. And we read stories about Lot escaping from Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read stories about David being victorious over Goliath. And these stories, brothers and sisters, were put into the Bible for us as examples, telling us that if our faith is such, if our diligence is such, if our love is such, we too can experience those same victories as these did in the old Bible days. When Paul stood trial in Rome, he said, no man stood with me. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. He didn't have any friends around him as you and I do. When we face trials and tribulations, thank God we have friends. Thank God we have brothers and sisters. Thank God we have the support of each other when we have those trials to face? Paul said no man stood with him. Yet he said, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. And that's stronger than friends. That's stronger than family. That's stronger than the support that brothers and sisters can give each other. The support given by the Lord. This is what we need to pray for. Sometimes it seems to me that the world is winning. Sometimes I look out and I see the crime. I see the evil. I see the sin. And I look around and I say, where is the righteousness? Where is the goodness? Where is God's people? But brothers and sisters, God is winning. God is giving victory. God is giving us the victory over temptations. Those temptations that seem to be too great for us to stand. I'd like to turn over to John. I'm going to read out of the 15th chapter of John. And I'm going to start at the 17th verse. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And the key that I want to call your attention there is God called you out of the world. The world's going to go on. The sin's going to go on. The degradation is going to go on. The evil is going to be out there, but you have been called out of the world. You have been given the victory over sin because of your obedience to Jesus Christ. Christ said, in this world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I believe that the early church believed this, because as I look back and read the history that happened in the early 1830s, I see a church of people that were persecuted. They had to endure much more than you and I. I see a people that were tarred and feathered. I see a people that were beaten, were spit upon, were shot, were killed, were driven to and fro. But I also see a growth at that time. I also see a victory at that time. If in this world you have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then we go down and we see Peter, St. Peter. And we see him walking towards Jesus. And lo and behold, he's walking on the water, isn't he? Not only Jesus, but Peter also. He was able to take a few steps. He had victory because he had faith that he could walk on water. And that faith did not falter in the first two or three steps. But then Peter became afraid. Peter became frightened. And he started to sink. And he reached up his hand and said, "Lord, save me." Because he lost faith. Because he became afraid. Christ said, "My peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ said at one time to be not afraid, "For I am with thee." When I was a young man, growing up in a little town over here, I knew no fear. When Frank Fann walked down the streets, people stepped aside. I liked that feeling. I wasn't afraid. There was no fear in me. I thought I look fear in the face and walk away. But then things happened. Frank Fann got polio. Frank Fann couldn't swallow. Frank Fann couldn't breathe. Frank Fann became afraid, scared, petrified. Then I knew what fear was. I didn't like that either. We all become afraid of something somewhere, sometime. But through the Bible, through the Book of Mormon, through Jesus Christ, we are promised a victory from that fear, whatever that fear may be. What a marvelous thing. I wish I could stay here and tell you that I miraculously was healed from polio through faith in Christ, but I didn't know much about Jesus Christ. But I believe that I was healed through the faith of those who love me. I believe I was spared because of the prayers of those who cared, not mine. I didn't know any better. But I do today. And I thank God for every time that He is with me. I see triumph in your lives, whether you see Him or not. I see sunshine where somebody sees darkness. They claim at work that I never see anything bad. Everything is always going to be okay. No matter how bad it gets, no matter if the plant's falling down around my ears, ain't too bad. Could get worse. Because I believe in the victories that Christ gives us. Not only in church, but He gives us victory in our daily lives. In all those little things that come upon us. Each and every day. I'd like to turn over to the Book of Mormon and read on page 351 starting with the 27th verse. "And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. And if we are tempted, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelation, they all tell us the same thing. That Christ, through prayer, will give us the victory. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day to enter into his rest. And then on page 712, I'd like to read just a little bit. I'm going to read the 92nd through the 94th verse. O then, despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. And every day we find ourselves standing in need of something. We stand in need every day. We have an opportunity to converse with the Lord every day over some need that we have. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. That's how we get the victory from our Lord and Jesus Christ, by serving him. By serving him with obedience, with love, with dedication. But to receive these blessings, we must repent. We must turn from those things that we know that we're doing that are contrary to God's law. We must put from our lives those things that offend. We must put off envy. We must put off pride. We must put off greed. We must put off hate. We must put off gossip. All of those things that we know that tend to draw us away from Jesus Christ and draw us towards Satan. Those things, put from us. Put them away. Page 316 in the Book of Mormon. Starting with the 47th verse, it says, "Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God?" Have we walked keeping ourselves blameless? Have we walked that straight and narrow path? Have we led ourselves off into by and forbidden paths? Have we walked blameless before God? Could ye say, if called on to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? Think of that. Ask yourself that question. Have I been sufficiently humble if tonight I die and have to stand before Christ? Or when I stood before him, would I want the rocks to fall upon my head because I'd be ashamed? I can't answer that. I can't answer that for you. You have to ask yourself that question, and you have to be honest with the answer. That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who came to redeem his people from the sins. Have we taken the name of Jesus upon ourselves? Have we all been baptized? Have we had hands laid upon our heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost? Have we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. If you have these things in your life, you will not win the victory. That victory is reserved. That true victory is reserved for those who become part and parcel with Jesus Christ. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there any among you who is not stripped of envy? Oh, that green monster envy. I'm envious of what you have, brother. I'm envious of the things you've done, brother. Have we stripped ourselves from envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared, and I would that ye should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such a one is not found guiltless. And we are told in another place that we must be guiltless. We must stand before him clean, white, and pure. These are some of the things that you need to ask yourselves. Turn with me to Psalms. First Psalm. We'll read the whole Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are the things that you and I have to do to be victorious. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Brothers and sisters, we are promised victory. And you and I can have that victory today. We can have that victory starting right now. If we propose in our hearts to do those things that Jesus Christ has commanded us to do. I think we've made a long step towards that today. I think the way that the business was conducted in the church today was a big step in that direction that you and I need to go to win the victory. But it was a little bitty step. It was a little bitty step. And now we need to step out in faith, believing that Jesus Christ will give us the victory. And that those trials and troubles and tribulations that come upon us will only be a stepping stone to growth. Which brings me to my poem. Trouble is a stepping stone to growth. Trouble is something no one can escape. Everyone has it in some form or some shape. Some people hide it way down deep inside. Some people bear it with gallant-like pride. Some people worry and complain of their lot. Some people covet what they haven't got. While others rebel and become bitter and old, with hopes that are dead and hearts that are cold. But the wise man accepts whatever God sends, willing to yield like a storm-tossed tree bends, knowing that God never makes a mistake, so whatever he sends, they are willing to take. For trouble is part and parcel of life, and no man can grow without trouble and strife. And the steep hills ahead and the high mountain peak afford man at last the peace that he seeks. So blessed are the people who learn to accept the trouble men try to escape and reject. For in our acceptance we're giving great grace and courage and faith and strength to face the daily troubles that come to us all, so we may learn to stand straight and tall. For the grandeur of life is born of defeat. For in overcoming, we make life complete. Thank you, brothers and sisters.